Social networking. Wow, there was a time when you sat in the playground and watched who your children were hanging with, and then there was a time when you knew who they were inviting over and whose house they were going to. Now you have no clue if you're not getting involved in their social networking world.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. Last week and this week, we're focusing on privacy versus protection, but we are dedicating an entire week to technology. And yesterday, we talked a lot about the computer in general. It's becoming our TV in the very near future, how to have it in a public place, how to have passwords and usernames for all your kids' email addresses and everything that they use if you find out about everything. And of course, safety filters. Have the filters on your web browsing. There's a lot out there, even if it costs $50 a year, it is so worth it to protect your family.
Well, let me just comment as you're running, you're doing an awesome role here, but let me say, the fact that people don't spend that money, they end up in our offices here at Sheridan House. And the younger and younger and younger age that is having a horrible time, you know, 10, 11, and 12-year-olds with pornography right now is absolutely astounding.
Wow.
The rate, yes. And so we need to invest. We invest in other things. I mean, we give them vitamins. Why don't we give them vitamins for their soul? I mean,
right.
And decide this is worth it. We will do whatever it takes. And there's so many options out there.
Yeah. And that's just the computer in general.
Mm.
But through that computer, we have this brand new phenomenon of social networking where you can find all your kids' friends online and find some interesting pictures. You can find out a lot about people by the kinds of pictures they put up, the comments they make. But it's another reality also, because as much as you can say, I know about that person, I saw their pictures, I saw what they did, but they're in total control also of what they post up. So who knows? You could see a picture of a 20-year-old girl and it could be a 60-year-old man behind it.
Yes,
you never know.
Yes, you don't know. And they're in total control of what they post, but they're not in total control of what other people post about them or pictures of them.
Right.
And so they need to be very wise. This year, I was thinking about this earlier today, 3 youth pastors in the South Florida area that I know of posted inappropriate things on Facebook and lost their jobs.
Three.
And you know what? 2 were bad, really bad. One was just not using his brains and realized, okay, you're supposed to be a role model for these students.
Wow.
And you're not obviously a role model for these students.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're the wrong guy for us. You're not thinking. It's an issue of not thinking. So if these 24 and 25-year-olds working very hard to be cool aren't doing the proper thing here in some of the things they permit to be posted or post or say themselves or on Twitter, the whole issue here, it used to be the computer. Now we're carrying our computers in our pockets.
Right.
We're way past this box that stands somewhere with a television looking screen.
Right.
And we'll be way, way, way past that real quickly, where it is something you carry with you and in your pocket or in your purse. And we do have to prepare our children. First of all, we've got to think through this social networking thing where kids, quote, hang out without any supervision.
And I mean, this could be another broadcast in itself, but the psychological satisfaction that you get when you post an update.
Mm.
There's even studies on that to feel better, just update your Facebook, update your Twitter, let the world know what you're doing. And it somehow, it makes you feel better. And it's proven, scientifically proven, that it kind of does that, which is kind of bizarre. Hey, I'm watching the news eating potato chips and I update that on my Facebook page and I feel better about it.
Mm.
Well, I don't understand that, but I can comprehend that. Yeah, it might make you feel a little bit better. So imagine your children then.
Well, that kind of update doesn't make me feel any better. That's the difference between our age right there.
Yeah.
That kind of update is like, why would anybody bother to do that? Where I think Twitter has a great use personally. And watching Sunday mornings, early Sunday mornings, where there's probably 40 pastors that were all putting stuff up there for each other, which is awesome, and the encouragement. And I marvel at Tully and Chavidians. His are brilliant sometimes. But it's just these little sound bites of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are putting Ed Stetzer and these other guys just put up there. I think, though, we've got to see as parents that our children are hanging out. And a reason might be putting things up that at least somebody out there cares. My parents don't care. My parents are busy. What are you doing? And they don't even know I've wandered off into the cyber world rather than, you know, I think it was your generation. I raised your generation. And unfortunately, we parked you in front of Sesame Street and these other things, and you just vegged right there. Now you can park them in front of VeggieTales. But we don't want to park our kids anywhere. I agree that there are some times when a mom just needs to get things done, and VeggieTales is a wonderful 30-minute babysitter while she's just getting things done, when she can have one child helping her. Mm-hmm. But what happens is children have learned to walk away from actual relationships. Mm-hmm. And as they walk away from actual relationships, they're doing these cyber relationships that aren't realistic relationships. They're not solving conflict. And so we're not really preparing them for employment or preparing them for marriage. We're just giving them these instantaneous spot answers that also become horrible ways to deal with conflict. Mm-hmm. And we're not preparing them to go out there. But the social networking, we need to have a finger on that pulse.
Yeah, but you see, they do enjoy it. For the teens and the kids, that's also part of their reality, is that you hang out online. When they're with their friends, what do you talk about? Nonsense things. Mm. Okay, so I'm going to update that I'm having Doritos tonight. I love nacho cheese Doritos. And you'll see 5 likes on it on Facebook. And it starts a string of conversations about the different kinds of chips that you like and nonsense things like that, because that is the new hangout place. And I mean, as much as we like or dislike it, it's a reality. So as parents, you kind of have to navigate that too.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a like or dislike. I agree with you. I think the bigger challenge is your generation could sit on the front of your house or on the back patio and have nachos with 5 or 6 other girls. I could look out the window every now and then and realize it's 5 or 6 other little girls your age. Mm-hmm. Rather than look into the cyber world and realize, you know, all these that are talking, one of them's not a 12-year-old girl. One of them's a 25-year-old man who's functioning like a 12-year-old girl online. And so, and acting like it and drawing into relationships. Or amazing to me, to show our vulnerability, the number of people who have started extramarital affairs online. Mm-hmm. And then actually flown to New Orleans and met the person and realized, oh my goodness, they're not even close to the person I thought
they're
I was.
Not even the gender I thought.
No, exactly. There's some things we need to look at. One of the things is there is an age minimum for this social networking. And the age minimum is 13 years old. And how many parents, because their children beg and beg and beg and beg, let them on? What does that do? That does teach the child that it's okay to break the law. And I think some parents get upset because there ought to be a way for them to validate. I don't know if they're going to, you know, should we attach a retinal scan, tells how old you are, that's connected to your birth certificate, that you have to go up to your computer and stick your eyeball in the whatever, the Skype thing, to do a retinal scan. It's the parents' responsibility to do this. And we've gotten so cowardly about stepping up and doing the things we need to do. And just deciding, and there's some automatic privacy settings for everybody under 16. That's a law. Mm-hmm. Those are supposed to take place. But it doesn't take place because we as parents, even though there are some laws that are here to help us, but we as parents are afraid to step into that world, are afraid to say no, or don't know how to back it up. We actually don't know how to take the iPhone away or whatever it is and say, you violated the law. What are we going to do when they're children and they're 18 years old and they're driving our car and we find a beer can in the back seat or a joint that fell on the floor and they forgot all about it? Well, you know, I want to live in denial. I don't want to take it on. We absolutely have to say, and it's a beauty and an easy thing. It's against the law. We're done here. Everybody else does. I'm sorry that everybody else breaks the law. The fact that everybody else breaks the law, we will not break the law, not only because it's a law, but because God calls us not to break the law. So I'm sorry you want me to do that. I will not be doing that. And we will not, and you will not be doing that. So the whole social networking thing is, not only do we need to decide we're going to do it and abide the law when we do it, but we're also going to do it in a way where I, as a parent, have the password. I have access to everything you're doing on Facebook or everything you're doing in MySpace. I have access, and I'm going on. I can't believe I'm going on. I will not embarrass you. I will not post anything, but I'm going on to see what you're doing and see what people are saying to you. And yes, we will talk about so-and-so who has put some very inappropriate things. I mean, I actually linked on to some of your friends and see what they're doing. We need to really rethink some of these things. This is not invasive. This is protective. But we just totally keep our hands off and then find a nightmare or a heartbreak one day.
And we really do have to become educated about a lot of these tools. I don't know everything there is, but I think I know a little bit more of Facebook, having to sort of work in that field in media and learning some of the tricks of the trade and all that. But you have to know that even Facebook is not the only place where your kids are going. Are there other social networking sites? Look at your browser history. Catch your kid off guard sometimes. Say, you know what? Let me sit here. You know, and don't, you know, it doesn't have to be a mean way or anything like that, but catch them off guard sometimes and check out the history right then and there and see before they know how to delete it, because kids also know the verbiage. They have grown up with the vocabulary of the internet and of social networking. Mm-hmm. They're more familiar with it than we are as parents. But there are ways to set things up too, where, you know, like we said yesterday, you give me the password and the username. The day it doesn't work because you haven't told me that you changed it, you lose the privilege for a month or a week or whatever you're going to set. And there is way, speaking of Facebook, there is a way where you can set up where every part of your conversation on mail, there's some things on the wall, there's some things, and what's private is your mail. You can set up the mail to be routed to an email account. Well, then have it routed to an email account that you have access to constantly, or your own email account.
Absolutely.
I have found tremendous things just because of that. And I went on the Facebook page and it was deleted. You kind of have to outsmart your kids and really work at it too, you know?
Well, I like what you said. They're there at the kitchen table on the laptop or the notebook or whatever it is, and you sit down with them. And we're supposed to have this relationship, and I am the parent. But here's something that I've seen that's been very interesting with some of these kids at Sheridan House. Though they rant and rave and are very upset, all said and done and down the road a little bit and dealt with it, they're very glad they were caught. They don't know how to stop. It's almost an addiction staying online and staying online and staying online and staying involved and staying hooked up and connected. And so it's so hard for them to back off. Mm-hmm. And helping with this to set not only some boundaries of where they can't go, but some boundaries of how much they can go. What are the limitations here? You cannot spend every evening, all night on doing this. We need to park the equipment. I will park the equipment. We all need to park the equipment for this social networking. But I also want to help my kids know there's some things you don't share. There's some things you just don't put out there, telephone numbers and addresses and highly personal things. You do not share them because there will be people coming after you. They know that they and need to know. If you don't know who that person is from school or church, don't.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
Eliminated. Don't get involved in that. Only their friends should have access to their friends page and track their accounts, track what they're doing.
Keep it as private as you can. There's ways that your profiles can be very visible or not visible. And until your child knows how to filter through that, which they probably won't until they're an adult, keep it very private. They don't have to have their whole life up on the world to see that they were at McDonald's having a shake or something like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I would not drop my child off in the middle of a city and say, look, I've got to go out into the suburbs for a little bit. I'll be back to get you in 5 or 6 hours. Then why would I drop them off in the middle of the cyber world, the cyber city, where anyone can have access and I'm not going to be involved and I'm not going to go look? Set the boundaries. It's not only boundaries of where they can have access to all these things, where the equipment is or where they're handling their phone or their whatever it is, but also and slowly expand their boundaries on into high school, but start with set boundaries so they realize we can go back to that boundaries, but also set the boundaries of what they're permitted to do in the social networking world and that they know you have access to everything. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's a very important ingredient here called time. How much time are they allowed to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Decide there's some time limitations. You cannot come in and spend your entire night on this, and do not bring it to the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
We are parking everything at dinner and beyond. In our world, we parked it beyond dinner. Dinner and beyond. You can go check it every now and then. They're all in those docking stations being charged. You want to go look at it every now and then, but we do not take them off to all of the places. None of us are brain surgeons, and the White House has never called us for emergency help. Check it. You don't need to have instant access. None of us are that important. You've already been doing it. It's time to calm down right here. Make the decision that you're going to set the parameters. And if you want, slowly expand them. But you will give your children a great leg up if you teach them to manage their time rather than have anybody have access to them anytime. My son was telling me, and he's very good at night. He's home. When he's home with his wife, it's all off. Everything's off. It's totally off, completely off. And you just get a message. You leave a message, and he'll check them every now and then. And if we don't say it's important, he doesn't call back. If his people in his church don't say it's emergency, he doesn't call back. And they actually have time. And he's learned how to time manage. But he's also said, Dad, I know even though I'm the senior pastor of church, I'm not that important. And unless it's an emergency, if it's an emergency, someone will text me. But that's where we're at. Decide you are the keeper of the boundaries for the social network, not your child.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J. And if you want to find more information about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the resources available there, even how to support the ministry, you can go online to shfm.org. And we here at Parenting Today are on our social networking site. We do have a Facebook page, and you can find all the links and Facebook this broadcast or the blog that you can sign up for to get it every day in your email box. That's all online at parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org.